This is the son of PCJ.
Media Network Plus. Produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perron.
Hello, everyone. It's very nice to have you with us once again. Coming up today, in 2009, Radio Australia was switched off in Fiji, 3 years after the coup-installed military government. This decision, however, could be reversed. On Tuesday, January 31st, Radio Bulgaria ceased all shortwave broadcasts. We'll take a listen to their final moments. And as the SWL Fest is just around the corner, we've been speaking to SWLs to find out what made them interested. Today, we're speaking to somebody who's under 30 years old. Yes, there are many of you out there who are under 30. We have this and much more, so stay tuned. Media Network Plus, let's all sing. Everybody ready? Around the world I search for you. But first, we take a look at some of the headlines happening in the world of media. Taiwan will complete the transition to digital television 1 year ahead of schedule in 2014. That's according to the National Communications Commission. The switch from analog TV to digital TV will be completed in two main stages, says NCC Commissioner Chen Qixiang. During stage one, which will be completed this July, the nation's five terrestrial TV stations will stop broadcasting in analog and will only transmit digitally. He said, in stage two, we will finalize when cable television stations will make the switch to digital broadcasting at the end of 2014. The decision to move the digitalization process ahead of schedule is in accordance with a campaign promise made by Taiwan President Ma Ying-jeou during his recent re-election campaign, according to the NCC. Taiwan still lags behind its neighbors to the north when it comes to digital television, Chen said, noting that in Japan, 100% of the broadcasts are already made digitally, while in South Korea the rate is 30%. The Pakistani Prime Minister has directed cable TV operators to restore BBC World News TV, said Firoz Ashid Awan, the Minister of Information and Broadcasting. In November 2011, Pakistani cable operators blocked the channel amid a fury over the BBC documentary Secret Pakistan. The program questions Pakistan's commitment to tackling militants. The Guatemalan government is cracking down on the country's hundreds of pirate radio stations. Indigenous leaders say the 1996 peace accords give them the right to broadcast. Without a license, broadcasting is illegal, says Eduardo Mendoza, secretary of Guatemala's Chamber of Broadcasting. He explains that there are at least 800 pirate radio stations in Guatemala. While many of these do not profit from broadcasting or serve a political or religious group, community stations like Radio Irshla are deemed to be a menace as the others. But community radio stations claim that they have the right to the airwaves, and the current law is discriminatory. They cite the Guatemalan Peace Accords, which were signed in 1996, that ended the 36-year-old bloody civil war between the military government and leftist guerrillas. And finally, the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation, or FBI, is looking for a tool to mine social media for intelligence tips. The U.S. Domestic Law Enforcement Agency is asking information technology contractors about the feasibility of building a tool that would enhance its techniques for collecting and sharing open-source actionable intelligence. The January 19th open request was published on the website offering federal business opportunities and was first reported by the New Scientist magazine. The FBI says it is seeking an open source and social media alert mapping and analyst application solution for its Strategic Information and Operations Center, or SIOC. The FBI said the tool must have the ability to rapidly assemble critical open source information and intelligence that will allow the SIOC to quickly vet, identify, and geolocate breaking events, incidents, and emerging threats. It would need to be able to instantly search and monitor keywords and strings in all publicly available tweets across Twitter and any other site that it has made public. In addition, it would have to immediately translate them into English from no matter what social forum they are taking place in. Interested parties, if you're one of them, have until February 19th to respond to the FBI request. And that was a look at some of the headlines in the world of media. A special thank you goes to Andy Sennett at Radio Netherlands Worldwide for compiling the stories. If you want more information about the Media Network blog at Radio Netherlands, go to www.pcjmedia.com and you'll find a link for them at the bottom of our own page.
This is Media Network Plus.
And you're listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio, heard on the World Radio Network, Sirius XM, Shortwave, and on DRM. We are also now available on the Stitcher phone app for iPhone, iPad, Android, and other smart devices. For more information, you can visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com, and you'll find a link for them on the right-hand menu. In 2009, 3 years after Fiji's military-installed government took power, they switched off Radio Australia's local FM transmitters in Nadi and Suava. The government is now signaling that it is looking into allow Radio Australia to broadcast inside the country again. Here's Radio Australia's Bruce Hill speaking with RA's CEO, Mike McCluskey.
I would, and Radio Australia would, welcome any opportunity to have consideration for our Nandi and Suva transmitters to be switched back on.
How long have they been switched off for?
Since 2009.
Well, so they were actually on, and Radio Australia was broadcasting into Fiji for 3 or 4 years after the coup.
Yes, that's right. And we would hope that the indication is that the treatment that we gave to every subject, you know, following ABC editorial policies and our code of practice, was as good back then as it is now, and as it will be into the future.
The Fiji government has complained about the treatment they've received at the hands of the outside media in Australia and New Zealand, and Radio Australia has been no exception. Has Radio Australia strayed outside the boundaries of journalism and, as the Fiji interim government would say, you know, attacked them unnecessarily or simply put out a false view of the government?
Radio Australia, like all other aspects of the ABC, has to be accountable to our own standards and to the standards of very good journalism. Balanced journalism. We have a code of practice to that effect. We have editorial policies to that effect. We have to be accountable to those editorial policies. People have every right to make sure that we are accountable to those policies and to that code of practice.
Radio Australia has put out some pretty negative stories about the Fiji interim government, though, haven't we?
Radio Australia's put out balanced coverage, giving all sides opportunity to have their say. I think right across the Pacific, we can see that journalists such as yourself, Bruce, Geraldine, all of the journalists that we have working for us are operating fairly, consistently, and to the balanced requirements that we have in our own editorial policies and our code of practice.
If the Fiji interim government said, look, we're happy to switch you back on, but we just want you to sort of come to an arrangement with us about, you know, the way you cover us in terms of news, would that be something that you'd enter into or not?
No, because the ABC already has arrangements in place to ensure fairness and accountability. We have the arrangements of our code of practice. We have the arrangements of our editorial policies.
If the Fiji interim government did decide that Radio Australia could start its transmitters in Nandi and Suva again, what physical state are they in? How soon could we get them back up and running?
I've just been speaking to Joe, one of our broadcast engineers. We don't know the answer to that question. What we do know is that those transmitters were state state of the art in 2009. They were exceptionally good transmitters. We believe that there's no reason why they can't continue to be exceptionally good transmitters, and we believe should, and I hope that this will happen. The Fijian government gives us the opportunity to turn them back on very, very soon. Then we can get them up and running very quickly.
Radio Australia's CEO Mike McCluskey speaking with Bruce Hill from Pacific Beat, heard on Radio Australia. Well, a number of SWLs were shocked to find out that only a few weeks ago, Radio Bulgaria would cease all shortwave transmissions. The last program went out on January 31st. On a personal note, I have to be perfectly honest with you. The last time I tuned to Radio Bulgaria was when it was still going by the name Radio Sofia. That shows you how long ago that was. I did try to listen to their last few days of transmissions. Unfortunately, none of them were audible here in East Asia. So I decided to go online and listen. Well, to be perfectly honest, after about 10 minutes, I lost interest. Yes, it is sad that a station like Radio Bulgaria has ceased broadcasting on shortwave, but we need to look at the reality. What and who are they serving? Stations like the Voice of America, Radio France International, BBC World Service, and the other large broadcasters target areas providing people news in their country that they can't get on local stations. I have traveled extensively through East Asia and Southeast Asia. Not once have I ever met somebody, a regular shortwave listener, or somebody who listens to shortwave to find out news, that said, "Oh, I tuned to Radio Bulgaria." Radio Bulgaria did have an opportunity to not just focus on Bulgaria, but also Bulgaria's relationships with other continents. For example, Africa, where there's a very large shortwave audience. Did they do that? No. Did they do that for their program targeting Southeast Asia? No. It was just focused on Bulgaria. The sad truth is, a lot of these small international broadcasters like Czech Radio are really focusing just on themselves. They're providing information that we can get from so many other sources, like the internet. Now, some people will say, yes, but in many parts of Africa, Southeast Asia, and the Pacific, people don't have the luxury of logging online. That is absolutely true. But if you were somebody in, say, East Java in Indonesia, are you really interested to find out what's happening in Bulgaria? Probably not. You're tuning to the other services like BBC and Voice of America to find out what's going on internationally and what's going on in your own backyard. That was just, of course, my personal view about Radio Bulgaria. I have to admit, the last few days that I did listen to their programming online, I wasn't really impressed. I have some old recordings that I made when it was Radio Sofia, and I have to say they were a much better station then. But anyway, let's move on. Let's take a listen to their final program that they put out on shortwave, just the last couple of minutes.
This is not a farewell that we are now saying to you, but only a goodbye until tomorrow when our program continues online. This is News, Views and Doubts from Bulgaria, a unique pastiche of all things entirely Bulgarian that we will offer you. And I'd like to remind you that you can find us on Facebook, and our name there is Radio Bulgaria English Service with spaces in between. On behalf of all our former and current staff members, all radio hosts, news presenters, authors of our DX programs and our music editors, we extend our gratitude to you, our listeners from all five continents of the world, for your support and interest over the years. And we here at the English section will keep doing our best to bring you the best of Bulgarian culture. To get the pulse of Bulgaria and learn more about this part of Europe and the Balkans, stay with the large family of Radio Bulgaria online and do find us on Facebook. At the end of our last shortwave broadcast, we offer you an emblematic Bulgarian tune. This has been our radio station's interval signal for years and a piece of music that most of you surely know. And it is Pancho Vladigerov's March from Bulgarian Suite. This is our special greeting to all of you. Best of love from me, Vera Popova, and me, Rusica Petkova, and from all members of the English section of Radio Bulgaria. Stay well and take care.
And that was the last couple of minutes from Radio Bulgaria's last shortwave broadcast. If you wish to contact us, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. There's also a new way you can listen to this program. If you have iPhone app or another smart device, you can download free of charge the Stitcher app. That's Stitcher. And you can listen to this program anytime you want. And I have to tell you, I've been trying it out, and the download time is actually much faster than our website. You can find the link for them at our own website, www.pcjmedia.com, and there's a link for Stitcher in the right-hand menu. SWLs, or shortwave listeners, are a very special group of people. As you may know, the SWL Fest is just weeks away. This month, we're featuring some SWLs. Now, many of you will say, oh, SWLs, that's a bunch of old people. You are totally, totally incorrect. There are people who are under 30, some who are even under 20. Yes, I'm not kidding. There really are. Our guest next actually started listening when he was in the Boy Scouts. His name is Chris Frietis.
I guess you would call it luck or divine intervention. I don't know, but this happened when I was about 13 years old. This is 1997. In the Boy Scouts I was a member of, we would get these magazines in the mail called Boy's Life. And one issue that I got for December of 97, it talked about shortwave radio. And it was an article that said, listening to the world with your ears. I forgot who wrote it, but I managed to pull it up on Google Books one day. And it was the same article that I read. And as I was reading this, I was like, well, this sounds pretty interesting. Listening to international radio stations, it piqued my curiosity. And so I did a little bit of research at the local library in my hometown of Millington, Tennessee, which is not too far from Memphis. As I was reading books, they had the World TV Radio Handbook, a few other shortwave books, and various other things. And searching on the internet, which was very limited at the time, of course. Once I got to look around, I realized that I actually had a shortwave radio, and I didn't even know it. I got like a multiband receiver. It was like a Sears brand multiband receiver that I got from a friend for like $20. And I looked at the dial and it said SW, and I sort of made that connection. It was like, well, I have a shortwave radio. So I kept tuned around to some frequencies. I guess at the time it was more of a DX thing, and I came across Radio Canada International, BBC, Voice of America, various other stations, and it just blew my mind.
You said that you learned about shortwave in 1997 from from a Boy Scout magazine. Since 1997 to today, there have been, of course, a lot of cuts that have been taking place. Just a few days ago, the most recent was Radio Bulgaria that decided to cease all their shortwave transmissions. I was discussing this with someone, and I don't know about you, but my personal feeling, especially with stations like Radio Bulgaria, is that, you know, the reality is that a lot of these stations, these smaller stations like Radio Bulgaria or Czech Radio, in many ways, shortwave radio has changed, and a lot of these stations have really lost their purpose for actually being around. Most of the world now, especially the developing world, will either listen to the BBC World Service, Radio France International, The Voice of America, Radio Australia, and other broadcasters, the other large broadcasters. And what they do that's different from Radio Bulgaria, for example, Radio France International or BBC, they will specifically target the region that they're broadcasting to, bringing news to people in those in these areas that normally cannot get unfiltered, uncensored news from their local media. Stations like Radio Bulgaria, which are just, say, talking about Bulgaria, seem to have lost a big audience compared to, let's say, the days when it was the cold, when the Cold War was on. They've really lost that audience. What is your feeling about that? Because a lot of the smaller ones are just vanishing into the sunset.
Yeah, it seems like they're being, you know, they're competing against these bigger broadcasters, and we hear a lot about shortwave's demise or the death of shortwave. And I think also not only they're competing with these broadcasters, they're competing with newer technology. They're competing with, is this even viable to even broadcast, even when some of the bigger broadcasters can't even afford to operate on shortwave, and they're covering their news as much as they are. So I mean, it's sad to say that some of these stations are going away, and or, you know, moving online. You got the internet, I guess.
Well, you see, you know, the thing that I was, of course, leading to is, I mean, the vast majority of shortwave listeners these days would be, let's say, in Africa, Asia Pacific, Southeast Asia, Latin America. And my feeling is that why would somebody, let's say, in Madagascar or Kenya or Zimbabwe tune to Radio Bulgaria? They have no need to tune to Radio Bulgaria. They're not interested in what's going on in Bulgaria. They're interested in what's happening in their country, in Africa, and how the international community sees Africa or Southeast Asia or the Pacific.
Yeah, I kind of see that even here in North America, because Americans, they are so more centric in what's going on in their neck of the woods. Most wouldn't really care about what's going on outside of the U.S. Well, some of them will. Obviously, one's tuning in to shortwave or international broadcasts, however they get them. But I think that some of the broadcasters are more centered on what's going on in their country. Maybe other people are not so concerned about, and it seems like that's what's happening, as well as the newer technologies and smaller budgets.
Chris, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thank you for letting me be on with you, Keith. It was a pleasure.
That was SWLer, if I can say that, Chris Fiertas, all the way in the United States. And speaking of SWLs, the SWL Winterfest is taking place the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of March. It's the 25th anniversary, and I will be heading to Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania, flying out of Taipei on the 28th, spending one night in New York, and then heading down to Plymouth Meeting to take part in the fest. If you wish to attend, well, you can register online and even pay online using PayPal, which is absolutely fantastic. Just go to www.swlfest.com. That's www.swlfest.com. If there's any more rooms in the hotel where it's taking place, you'll have to check out the website. From when I started recording this program, they said that the block of rooms allocated for the SWL Fest were gone. But I'm sure that you can also find other hotels in the area. It should be interesting this year because it is the 25th anniversary, and it is actually my first time attending the SWL Fest. All right, radio propagation. What can we expect? Well, I'm not going to answer that because I don't know much about it. Well, not as much as our next guru does, who's here every week, Dan Hensley.
This is propagation for the week from February 4th to February 10th, 2012. The 10.7 centimeter flux is going to jump around between 115 and 130 this next 7 days. And February 4th and 5th, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 115. February 6th to February 8th, we will see a 10.7 centimeter flux of 110. And February 9th, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 120. And February 10th, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 130. The A index is going to be 5 all week long, except for February 9th when we see an A index of 8. The KP index will be 2 all week long, except for February 9th when we see a KP index of 3. Sunspots are on the decline again, as we only see sunspot groups 1410, 1411, and 1413. There is currently a solar wind generating from 2 coronal holes in the Earth-facing side of the Sun, and we may expect for these winds to reach the Earth by February 3rd or 4th. The chance for M-class solar flares is no more than 1%, according to NASA. That's propagation for this week. Back to you, Keith.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan, for this week's propagation forecast. And guess what? We are now out of time. Yes, time has just flown by, hasn't it? If you wish to contact us again, our email is mnp@pcjmedia.com. And also, just look for us on Facebook. Just do a search for PCJ Media or PCJ Radio. Click on Join the Group. That's all you need to do. If you wish to listen to this program again, as well as past editions, including the monthly 55-minute program, just go to our website, www.pcjmedia.com/media network plus. Once again, www.pcjmedia.com/media network plus, all one word, and that's it. The next thing I want to tell you about just before we sign off is the Stitcher app. Once again, really, if you do have a smartphone, go and download it, because it is absolutely fantastic. Not just for our programs, but also for the BBC and everybody else. And the best thing, of course, is that it is free of charge. Anyway, I'm going to be leaving you right now. So on behalf of vacationing Paulette Macquarie and Dan Hensley, this is Keith Parent all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, saying so long, take care. 73s to you all, and 88s to the ladies.